This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Dan Hurley. Mars is the closest it's been to Earth in 15 years. So how should we look for the red planet? My guest is Cincinnati Observatory astronomer and co-host of the syndicated TV program Stargazers, Dean Regas. He's also the host of WVXU's podcast, Looking Up, and the author of 100 Things to See in the Southern Night Sky. We're happy to take your calls and your questions about the sky as well at 513-419-7100, or you can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Dean, you're doing so many things. You're also a regular guest on Science Friday and all sorts of things. You're going to be on Here and Now later in the month, so yes. You get around.
Oh, I do, almost as much as the planets. And I'm so excited to talk about Mars because the other night I was out at the observatory and we were closing down and we saw Mars rising up above the trees and it was incredibly bright. I mean, dramatically bright. And I forgot how bright it was because it was 15 years ago since it looked like that.
Well, why is it so close right now? How does this happen?
Well, so Mars has a very eccentric orbit, and so it brings it closer to the sun than other times. And so at this point, yeah, it's going to be very almost at its closest point to Earth, to the sun. And we're also slightly farther from the sun right now. And so the
therefore
two combine,
closer to Mars, yeah.
And that's how we get it. And so it's going to be one of those things that I think people are going to really start to notice. Right now, Mars doesn't rise till about 11 or so.
At night.
Yes, at night. And so then people have been seeing it, you know, all the night owls that are out late, they're seeing it. But soon,
well, what do you
people
look
are
for? I look up and I mean, I can sort of pick out the dippers occasionally, but the moon, I can get the moon just like anybody else. But how do you know what's Mars?
Yeah, well, their planets are pretty easy to identify because they are suspiciously bright. I mean, they are way brighter than any of the other stars that you see at night. And we've got actually we have four planets that are up in the sky right now with a fifth, maybe if you're lucky. But so right now, Venus is the brightest. So if the sun, as the sun goes down, you look to the west, you'll see this bright light. And you'll think, what in the world is that thing? That is Venus. I mean, so much brighter than anything else. And then for Mars, then you just have to look to the southeast after 11 o'clock and you won't miss it. It's impossible to miss. It is so bright.
Now, is it twinkly like the stars are? Or?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, most of the planets don't twinkle as much as the stars do. They still will twinkle a little bit, especially when they're low in the sky because their light's coming through the atmosphere. But if you compare it to a star nearby, you'll see those stars are dancing and twinkling quite a bit more than the planets.
So we call Mars the red planet. Is it going to look red when we look up?
It's going to look very orange. We should say, you know, the Greeks were kind of interesting about this. They called it red because it was redder than other stuff. And you look at it first, you think, okay, well, it's yellowish, orangish, maybe pinkish. But then if you look to other stars and compare it to the other stars, you'll see, oh, wow, it is a lot redder than all those other stars.
So we're looking with the naked eye. You don't need a special telescope or anything to see it right now.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's so right now that's the easiest way to find it is just look up there for that steady orange light. I mean, it's like a beacon. I mean, it's so incredibly bright.
Now, if you did happen to have a telescope, what would you see? Would you be able to see a whole lot more than at other times of the year?
Well, so here's where we get to the trick with Mars.
Okay.
Mars is like the elusive planet. It's always like kind of teasing us with stuff. Whenever we look at it in a telescope, we think we see things. We think we see lines and features on the planet. But it's so small and still so far away that we can't really resolve a lot of things. So that's what led these people, the astronomers 100 years ago, to think there were aliens there because they were squinting through their telescopes and trying to see all these features. And they just look like lines. They look like canals on the planet. So at the observatory, we have a similar telescope. We have a 19th century telescope. So we get to see exactly the same kind of things that they saw. And it does look like Mars has canals and lines and dark areas. But you could also see the ice caps. So you see these white little dots on the top of the planet. And so you can see the ice caps from all those millions of miles away. We can't quite see the moons with our biggest telescopes at the observatory. Mars has two moons, and I say I can't see the two moons, but I have had kids that came and looked through the telescope, and they said, hey, Dean, what are those two dots next to Mars? And I said, what two dots? She's like, well, there's one on one side, one on the other side. And they drew me a map, and that's exactly what they were. So the kids saw the moons.
They have better eyesight than
old
we do.
old eyes.
Well, why is this so fascinating? I mean, when you look at the – when you look up and you do see the planets and all that sort of thing, and why is that special to you? I mean, you're fascinated by this, as so many are.
Well, yeah, I think it's something about that the sky is very accessible. And so, you know, people can look and see the sky, but knowing what they're looking at just takes you there. So you look up at this light in the sky and you say, that's Venus, that's Jupiter, that's Mars. And then you can kind of imagine yourself going there. For me, I think it's really kind of it's the precision that comes about. Is that I know when I go outside and I look to the west, I'm going to see Venus. And when I look to the southeast, I'm going to see Mars. And I will admit, I say hi to them out loud when nobody's looking. I'm like, hey, Saturn, what's going on? Hey, Mars. I mean, there's something about it. And one of the astronomers, David Levy, always said, you know, you want to make friends with the stars. And it's just kind of an interesting fun relationship. I would say, I guess that's about as distant a relationship as you can get, but it's still pretty good.
Well, you have to stay up late for this, right? Because if you can't really see it till 11, how long is it in the night sky?
Well, so the best time to view Mars when it's going to be closest to the Earth is July 27th through about August 1st or so. But all of this week and next week and a couple weeks after in August, it's going to be still incredibly bright. Astronomers just like to be technical. So we want to pick the exact closest possible day you can look for it. And that's going to be July 31st. But we're doing our big events at the observatory on the 27th and 28th. And we call them Marsapalooza. Because people get so excited about Mars, we have lines out the door, people wanting to see through the telescope. So we're going to try to open up a couple nights.
Late. And, you'll open like for that 11 o'clock viewing?
Well, so once we get into later July, then Mars will rise earlier. So it'll rise about 9 o'clock by the end of the month. So we'll be able to start to view it maybe about 9:30 when it's up high enough.
And how long does it last?
Mars is one of those planets that'll hang around. It's been 26 months since it's been, you know, at its closest point like it is now. And it's going to hang around through September and even early October. It'll still be pretty bright up there. But the best is this month.
But I also mean, if it's 9 o'clock at night later in the month, till when? 5 a.m, 4 a.m, till sunrise? When?
Yeah. So right now it's getting towards opposition, meaning it's on the opposite side of the sun from us. And so when the sun goes down, Mars will rise up. And Mars will stay up in the sky all the way until the sun rises again the next morning. So you get to see it all night.
So if you didn't want to get up late at night to it, you could get up early in the morning.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. You're an early morning person, not me.
I get up at 3, so that's I could look when I'm coming
into
work.
That would be perfect. Yeah, in fact, right now you can start looking right before sunrise. You'll see it more towards the southwest before the sun rises. But yeah, if you're an early riser and you catch before the sunrise, that's a great time to look too.
You're talking about what we're going to see here in the greater Cincinnati area, but is Mars visible, I should say, all across the country?
It's visible and available for almost everybody. Everybody in the southern hemisphere and the northern hemisphere up to pretty far north. I think it's somewhere around the Arctic Circle. They will have trouble seeing it. But pretty much the entire planet other than the Arctic will be able to see Mars up in the sky.
Now, do you see it better when the moon is not full? Does that make a difference?
It does help a little bit. It makes it stand out a little bit more if it's just by itself without the moon around. But we're probably looking forward to the moon conjunction we're having on July 27th.
What's a moon conjunction?
Well, the full moon will be right next to Mars on the day that it's close to Earth. And so it's going to be pretty incredible to see the moon and Mars will be down below it.
Can you get them both in the same picture? I mean,
they're not going to be that close, unfortunately. Okay. I tried to arrange to get them to cover each other up, but no, they're not going to do it. Yeah, so they're still going to be separated by a couple degrees. But if you see on the 27th something bright below the moon, that's Mars.
Wow. So, as you're looking at all of this and you're focused on that, do you find it's better to get as far away from the city as possible? Do the city lights affect what you see?
Well, it definitely helps if you want to see faint things like stars and the Milky Way and star clusters and that type of thing. With the planets, it doesn't really help so much. The planets are so bright, even with the light pollution around the city, you can still see them so well. And through telescopes, I don't find it really helps too much to be out in the country to view planets versus the city. It's more of just the bigger the telescope you have, the better, that's for sure.
What else are we, what should we be looking for in the summer? I think that there are opportunities to see things and you're not freezing while you're standing outside. So what else can people look for in the night sky?
Well, so Mars is going to grab the headlines, but I want to give you guys the inside scoop. As the most exciting planet to see in a telescope is Saturn. And Saturn is also at its closest approach this summer, too. Seeing Saturn, the telescope, is just unbelievable. You put your eye up to the eyepiece and you can see the rings, you see moons, you see shadows, you see all sorts of cool stuff on Saturn. And that is something that you've got to do this summer. I would put Mars at the third or fourth best planet to see in a telescope. Sorry, I've been talking about Mars, but I've got to talk it
others.
Down a little bit. Yeah, Saturn is definitely number one.
Well, you can
down.
See the rings. You can
exactly.
see the rings.
Jupiter would be number two because you could see four moons of Jupiter plus stripes and sometimes the great red spot on Jupiter. And that is also up in the sky at this time of year. And then Venus probably would be number three, where you could see the shape of Venus. Venus goes through phases. And then Mars, I'd put at four, Mercury, five, and even Mercury's up there a little bit to see for the next couple days. It's going to be a really tricky one to find. But the other four planets, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, are just going to be awesome.
And can you go even farther back? I mean, Neptune, Uranus,
yep, they're out there too.
And you probably need a pretty good telescope.
You need
for
a good telescope to see those. Even with our main scopes at the observatory, they still look like kind of little bluish green and bluish gray dots. So you really need the Hubble telescope to see those a lot better.
And where do you stand on Pluto, planet or not?
Oh, I don't want to get into that right now. We're talking about actual planets here today. No, Pluto.
But you
is,
can't see that far.
No, Pluto is technically within our realm of seeing through the observatory scopes. I personally have never seen it because it is so faint. It's the faintest thing in there, and it's hard to tell which one's which. And for folks that have the computerized telescopes, they can like type in Pluto, and it'll pan to it and see it. Our telescopes are a little less high tech, so we have to push and find push the telescope to where it has to be. And unfortunately, there's no labels up there. I don't know why they aren't.
Well, speaking of technology, my husband has an app that he always does something with, and he can put it up to the sky and it'll tell him what it is. Does that kind of technology really help? I mean, do you encourage people to do that, or should they just look up on their own?
Oh, I think, use any and all technology and tricks you can do. You can get apps on your phones that you just hold the phone up to the sky and it tells you what you're looking at. I think that's really helpful to identify the brightest of the stars and at least get you oriented of what's around there. And if nothing else, Mars and Venus and Jupiter are easy to identify. Saturn's a little trickier because it's not as bright. And so if you can use an app to find Saturn, then you'll know where it is.
What about clouds? I mean, clear nights obviously are the best. Can you still see through the clouds? It depends on how bad they are.
No, and we get that question a whole lot. If it's a cloudy night at the observatory, they say, well, we could still use the telescopes, right? I was like, no, we can't see through clouds. We even made a joke once and say, oh, well, our cloud filter's broken that we can't see through clouds. And they said, really? I was like, no, we really can't see through the clouds. It's just like looking through a brick wall. You can't see through it. Last night we had partly cloudy conditions, and we were still able to see Jupiter because Jupiter is so bright, but it still got clouded over about 20 minutes later. So we only got a short window. So fingers crossed that we're going to have clear skies for our big events. We have our special Saturn viewing night is on July 21st called Saturn Day. That's from 9 to 11. And then the Mars nights are July 27th and July 28th.
Do you have to be a member of the observatory to come? Or?
Nope. It's open to the public. Admission for those events are $10 for adults, $5 for kids. And it is free for members. So we'd love to have you guys join, too.
Let's talk about other things you might see in the sky. Can we still see the International Space Station?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The International Space Station goes overhead. It circles the globe every 90 minutes. But the tricky part is you have to see it while it's still in sunlight while you're in darkness. So you want to look for it right after.
Say that again.
Yes. The way we see it is because it's not because they turn the lights on. It's because the sunlight is reflecting off of the big solar panels and the body of the spacecraft. So it has to be sunny where they are while it's dark where you are. Because
that's tricky.
Then you get enough contrast. So mm-hmm. when you look, usually around sunset, you can see it or before sunrise. And my trick is to go to a website called Heavens-Above, and you enter your location, it'll tell you when any satellite flies over your head. There's also an app called Sputnik that can know where you are and tell you when the brightest satellites go right wherever you are.
So it's more than the International Space Station. There are other satellites you can see?
Yes. So there's,
what kind?
Well, so there's about 4,000 satellites that are circling the globe, and we can see probably the brightest 100 or so of them with the naked eye. And so the space station is by far the brightest. There's a Chinese space station. There's the Hubble telescope. There's these other satellites called iridium flares, iridium satellites that flare up incredibly brightly. It's like the sun just bounces off of their bodies and then comes right back to you. It's like a spotlight. And those are really cool to see. When you see an iridium flare, you might think it's a UFO coming at you. So that's a really good one to look for. I actually included some of these things in my books about the 100 things to see in the night sky, because satellites are so noticeable. You see them slowly going from horizon to horizon and moving in this nice arc across the sky. That's really cool to see.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment today. You also can email them, talk@wvxu.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter, and we have a question from Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy. What's your question?
Hey, I was just curious if the observatory telescope, if they report that and then could be found somewhere online to be viewed, or if pictures are taken from there to then be posted somewhere, where would I go to find them?
So pictures taken through the telescope or pictures of the telescope?
Yeah, correct. Through the
telescope. Yeah. So we're pretty low-tech minded. We can attach cameras and CCD cameras and video cameras to the scope, but we generally don't. We like to get people have that one-on-one experience. There's something just real intimate about putting your eye up to that telescope and letting those light beams come millions of miles into your eyes. We can put the cameras on the scopes, and we have on our website, we do have an astrophotography page in our gallery section. These are most of the pictures were taken by amateur astronomers with their own telescopes, and you can get an idea of the kind of amazing work they can do.
Jeremy, does that answer your question?
Well, I'm just also curious, what would the process be for an amateur photographer or someone who's interested? Is it as simple as just putting the camera up to the telescope? Is there any sort of, more or less? I mean, I have a backyard smaller telescope and a relatively nice camera, but I'm curious if there's any sort of technique or if it's just as simple as trying to get the camera to focus.
Yeah, the main thing is to get an adapter that will kind of marry the camera to the telescope. That's the thing, is getting the right connection for those two things, because some cameras aren't really well designed for astrophotography. But you can start as simple as putting your iPhone up to the eyepiece. You just, instead of your eye, put the iPhone
really
up there, and you get it in just the right spot. You can get a picture. There's also mounts that you can put your iPhone onto the telescope itself and take pictures. But then if you get some fancier scopes, you just need the right adapters that go on there. And then comes the fun part when you start to use Photoshop and other type of computer work to make them look a lot prettier. So it does take a lot of processing for a lot of those pictures.
That answer your question, Jeremy?
Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, our number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question for Dean Regas, of course, he's the host of WVXU's podcast, Looking Up, and the author of 100 Things to See in the Southern Night Sky. He is also the astronomer for the Cincinnati Observatory. What's the most amazing thing you've ever seen in the sky?
Oh, that's an easy question. Total solar eclipse. That's the
but
most.
But you left town for that, right?
I did leave town. I last August, that was the event of the century for us so far. It was only a 91% eclipse in Cincinnati, and so I skedaddled down to Franklin, Kentucky, to see the total eclipse. And it was my second one. I'd seen one other one in Greece. And it's just incredible. It just the way the light changes and then the sun just disappears behind the moon. It's just a sight I'll never forget.
What do you do to encourage, what would you suggest to encourage kids to be interested? I mean, I think kids generally are fascinated by just stars and what they see in the sky. But what do you encourage parents to do to work with their kids to really find things in the sky?
Yeah, what I see in the field is that kids and adults really respond to telescopes. There's just something about that it's like this little window into another world. And seeing the sky with the naked eye is a great way to get started. But there's something about that act of looking through a telescope. And so that's what I'd really encourage parents to do, is to get them over to the observatory or any science center that has telescopes. We can look at the sun during the daytime safely with solar filters. Yep. Our next sun event at the observatory is going to be August 5th. And then
what do you see on the sun? I mean, is it more than just light? What do you see?
Well, you see sunspots, solar flares, solar prominences, all sorts of activity on the surface of the sun that we think of the sun as being pretty blank and boring, but there's all these violent eruptions going on in the sun all the time. And so that's what we see during the daytime. And then at nighttime, there's so many planets to look at this time of year. So if you can make it over the summer, I'd highly recommend it. It seems to, I think kids and adults, there's something about coming to the observatory that they leave thinking, wow, that's the word we hear the most.
And things like the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, those are not as fascinating to kids maybe as the planets?
I don't think so. I think there is – I mean, what got me hooked was seeing Saturn in a telescope first. Seeing the Big Dipper is something you can see from your backyard, especially this time of year. A Little Dipper, this is where people get a little frustrated because you can't see it in the city limits. And so we try to work on kind of more urban constellations. The Big Dipper is one of those. There's the Summer Triangle that's up in the eastern sky. And then we have the Scorpion in the south. Those are some kind of major landmarks that people can find. But once you get started with those, then you can hop around to the fainter things and hopefully explore the things that are even beyond 20/20 vision.
Again, our number is 513-419-7100. Hi, Bruce. What's your question?
I'm sure there's an optical explanation for this, but years and years ago, my dad and I were out on the ocean, and we looked up at the moon, and the moon was a bright, bright crescent. Yet, if you completed the circle all the way around, there was a very bright light that fell within the circle, like a planet. And I just don't know if there's an optical explanation for how that light would get bent around the moon like that. Certainly there was no star or planet between where we were on the ocean and the moon.
We just have a few seconds left, so I'm going to let Dean jump in here.
UFO, man. That's what we're... No, I don't know. That one's a tough one, because if the crescent, how long ago was this?
Oh, well, you know, geez, it had to be... maybe 40 years ago.
Aha. I would say, I hate to say this, but maybe re-look at your memory, because the crescent moon should never be high up in the sky. It's always low when you see it. So that was probably a planet, though, that was next to it. Maybe just it looked like it was behind it. But yeah, planets are often by the moon, and that's something you can check out this next month, especially.
Thank you so much for calling, Bruce. We appreciate it. Dean, as always, thank you so much. Again, as we said, you're going to be recording an interview for Here and Now. It'll be on a little later in the month. So we thank you for being here. And of course, tune in for that or go find the podcast Looking Up on our website, WVXU.org. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking with the astronomer for the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the Syndicated TV program, Stargazers, Dean Regas. As I said, he's also the host of the WVXU podcast, Looking Up, and the author of 100 Things to See in the Southern Night Sky. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier, our assistant producer, Selena Reeder, today's technical director, Josh Elstro, our intern is Layla Shakui. Archives of our program are available on our website, WVXU.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley. Here and Now is next.